Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
59 days after the last entry in the log, that ship had traveled 4,500 miles across the open ocean, past the Rock of Gibraltar, and into the Mediterranean Sea at full sail. And nobody at the helm. What do you make of that?
Of course, yeah.
Hey, you smell that? I smell bullshit. No, look again, you moron.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 425, and I'm Scott Johnson. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining me today, Brian, I think Santos, talking to a picture. What? I think Santos is talking to a picture of his car, Dunaway.
You would be correct. That is Santos's car. Oh, hi. Congratulations. You found a crappy movie on Netflix. All right. Sorry. Sarcasm's is kind of our go-to thing around here. But to answer your question, Mr. Ferryman, yes, the FilmSack crew would be more than happy to help you recover that crappy movie you saw float around on Netflix. It's practically all we do. So, can you describe the movie for us? A giant floating turd. Okay, well, I think that's all I need to know. Say, could you excuse us, Mr. Ferryman? I just need to do a quick FilmSack crew sidebar. Hey, guys, I don't think we should do this one. It sounds like this Mr. Ferryman wants us to watch a giant floating turd. Literally. I mean, I know that is what we do week in and week out, but what if it's one of those ghost turds? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. You do all the prep work, but then when you look back, poof, nothing. Just an empty bowl. Wait, what was I talking about? I'm sorry, guys. I've been constipated for 2 weeks. I think I may be septic. Now get off my damn tugboat.
Wow. Nice. Well, don't worry. The tugboat's destroyed and gone. You don't have to worry about it after that.
So gone.
Also with us, Randy, Gabriel Byrne dresses too nice for a ghost ship. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy. Did I ever tell y'all about the time I ran the most successful salvage and reclamation operation on the high seas?
Nope.
Yep. Deluxe towing, because the ocean is a flowing, and you too are gonna be rich as long as you follow my three obvious rules. Number one, always have a maximum of one of each kind of diversity hire on your crew. Have a black guy, have a white guy, but his name is Santos, have a tough, somewhat asexual woman, and so forth, but never more than one of each. I don't know what might happen if you had two women, but it must be bad. Number two, always make sure that your dumbest, most stoned crew member is at the helm, driving full speed ahead when visibility is zero. Don't worry. The couple dozen old tires you fasten to the hull will protect everyone. That's why you see tires all over every other vehicle in the world. Number three, and this is so vital, fellas. always pick up people you meet in bars when you're in port. Mm. Bring them right onto your boat and take them wherever they want to go. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Everything. An hour and a half of wrong. With us finally, Brian, the entire crew didn't have the guts in the first 5 minutes. Ibbot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. A salvage boat is approaching, and this is too distracting. And we need you to bring your A game if we're going to scare them away. All right. Invisible Tony, where are you? Okay, well, wherever you are, Invisible Tony, you're in charge of messing with the propane so that their ship blows up and they leave. Okay, Francesca, might I remind you that this is an R-rated Italian cruise ship, so you're going to need to show your ghost boobs and lure some dude to his death. Yes, yes, we've all heard your jokes about seamen, and unless you've got some new material, stick to what you do best and seduce people to their deaths, okay? All right, this is not a drill, people. Chef Gunter, if I can pull you away from watching Lost Boys for the umpteenth time, see if you can figure out some new and inventive method to irritate the crew members who are taking our canned food, okay? That's it, people. Look alive out there.
Nice.
Look alive.
Oh, my
Lord.
You did
watching Lost Boys,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Look, I long
how do
for...
you like those maggots, Michael?
Oh, my Lord. The maggots.
Hey, how long does a can of beans good for? It ain't
it
40 years.
Mm.
No, it's like a year is the recommended, but...
Yeah, but yeah. I saw down Periscope. I know that those... For some reason, if you put it on a boat, food lasts forever in a can.
Hey, you know, if you really step back for a moment and get out of your, you know, modern society, you know, comfort... Mm-hmm. I mean, is it really the worst thing if you got a can of maggots on a chip? Because you can eat those.
Right.
You can cook them.
Right. Yeah, no. Those are, sure. I mean, it's gross because they're living and moving, but if you're desperate, you would eat a can
cook
of
those things.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're protein.
Actually, wouldn't the maggots die in the can? Like,
absolutely.
They can't survive themselves.
I think these were supernatural maggots.
Yeah.
Maggots.
I think everything was supernatural, and that's where it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because it stops making sense when you're so powerful you can just do anything. Why are you doing this then?
Yeah, but he's so not powerful that all it takes is a stab to the knee and then you're suddenly in a weakened state where the girl can blow the ship up. Like, it's got all kinds of issues. This is Ghost Ship, everybody. It came out in 2002. It is directed by Steve Beck, who I do not know, but I bet he's got a devil's haircut on his mind. Anyway, I don't know who that is, but it's stars at the time. I would say this is good prime time in 2002 for people like Gabriel Byrne, Juliana Margulies, yeah. Ron Eldard, who she was dating pretty heavily at the time. They broke up right after this thing came out, but other people like Carl Urban, who was pretty new to the scene, although he was in the second Lord of the Rings movies where he first appeared.
This is my favorite Carl Urban role, by the way. I didn't know it was, but apparently it is, because all Carl Urban does in this film is try to die. It's just like, how can I kill myself? He's just always.
Well,
on
we
it.
Knew he was for the chop at some point, right? Because the very beginning, you're like, dude, you're gonna die, and you're not Carl Urban yet, the way we know him today, right. Where you might lead something. Like, you're just a weasel, and you're gonna end up dying. And he died. He had the best death. Like getting ground up in a giant
Carl Urban
gear.
Got a profile on Grindr.
Right. He was. He really ground my gears. the Grindr joke was better. But anyway, the point is that he was going to die, and we all freaking knew it. And I hated him in this. Absolutely freaking hated him in this. So
loved him. No, I disagreed.
Loved him. He almost made it to the end. I mean, so did Ron Eldard, our second highest credited actor in the film. That's when I saw the film start and it goes Gabriel Byrne. All right, Ron Eldard. What?
What the
almost heck? To the
I
end.
I don't even think he gets credited in the opening music of ER. I think he's like
right
and featuring. You know, when the show actually starts. And,
oh,
and
was he on ER? I didn't know he was on ER.
And hey, by the way.
Where he and Juliana Margulies met.
Oh. By the way, movie which has trope of people being picked off one by one. We never saw Ron Eldard die.
No,
at all.
He's a death in a bucket is what the way I looked at it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We don't know if he died. He might have gone down with the ship. He might have been on the bridge where she told him to stay. Mm-hmm. Stay here. And he's just standing there like a good boy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Detective Quinn did tell us that he killed Ron Eldard.
That's true.
He did.
Quinn from Dexter.
But he's not reliable.
Yeah. No, he's not a reliable actor or character in this thing at all. In fact, I knew from the second he was in that bar that shit was dumb. Like, he, as soon as he was, like, approaching them and he was acting like a zombie, I went, nah, he's the reason this is all going to go to shit. I don't know how yet, but he's the problem, and get ready for it. And turns out he was exactly that, and he was terrible. He was a terrible bad guy, the worst kind. Hated him.
I don't know. I thought he flipped it pretty good.
Yeah? What do you mean? Tell me what you mean by that.
Oh, so, you know, he was acting very incompetent mm-hmm. up until a point, and he acted very aggressive. So I thought it was a good flip, a good switch.
A good flip. I'll give him.
I didn't know that he was the bad guy until it was, you know, revealed.
Until it was too late.
Guy. Well, the
until
minute
he was on the boat
okay,
to hell.
Okay. So
when he was giggling about gold is when I knew it.
Can we all agree that the greatest flip from sort of diminutive, hunched dude to crazy scary guy is Ed Norton in Primal Fear?
Oh yeah, he's good in that.
This isn't Ed Norton money movie. This is
and the thing is, Kaiser Sose still, like, that the only problem I have with the Kaiser Sose flip is that you've been watching him and then you see, like, some shots of him doing crazy action stuff mm-hmm. and you're like, that not that guy mm-hmm. sorry
yeah,
that,
Kevin that little Spacey. Guy
yeah yeah
oh, that's a good point. I mean, this movie could have used somebody with the acting gravitas of Ed Norton, but instead we get a lot of TV actors and they're okay in a lot of things.
You got what you got, and I thought it was great for the budget that it had. I thought it was all right.
I think it's terrible, and but also perfect for us. Like Film Sack was made for this sort of thing, and so I can't begrudge it too much. But if I'm really going to be critical about it, the acting's really bad, and these are all people who do fair jobs in all their other acting jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen all of these people do better. I think it's this director's last film that he ever directed, not because he died or anything like that. It was just like, okay, shit, I can't do this. And he just walked away.
I don't know if he's alive. Like, this is a guy who really fell off the face of the earth, like hard. Like, maybe he's that example of that thing I always talk about that I want to know. I want to know if there are people who make a bunch of money and just go like I've done it. I did my work. I made a bunch of money in 4 years or something. Yeah. And now they're just living a happy life.
Look at the entirety of his credits real quick here. He was mostly known for visual effects. The Hunt for Red October, he was in there as art director. The Abyss, same thing. Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. And then the In Search Of show, he did a bunch of stuff for that in 1980s, the old Spock show. Then as director credits, he did 13 Ghosts back in 2001 and then Ghost Ship the following year. And then otherwise, he did this is my favorite miscellaneous crew credit. He did the main title design for Breakin', the movie Breakin'.
So I got mad respect for him then. That's a sweet title design.
Sure, I guess. But the point is, like, then he's done. He's out at 2002 and he just steps away. And all I can find on him is not death, but just nothing. Like,
hey, that's fine.
Beck disappeared.
Fine. I mean, if you've got Ghost Ship and 13 Ghost money and Break in main title design money,
it's fine. I'm just saying, I think we all assume one of two things, retired to a cabin in the woods and doing okay, or this guy had some serious skeletons in the closet.
Probably.
And it was ghost? That closet was right about to open.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, it's hard to say, obviously, but. Yeah,
well,
this is
no, seriously. He killed a key grip on set and went to Morocco or something.
Right. And so, he's the other thing too that it's not really listed on IMDb, but he's done for commercials for First Union, GMC, Chevrolet, McDonald's and stuff. So I mean, maybe he's just doing what he wants. I like to think that when people leave Hollywood, they leave because they want to, not because they were ran out of town or something.
I prefer your version of it. I hope that's what's going on. It's just that there's literally nothing. He's not on any kind of social media. There's no websites. His Wikipedia page is a reproduction of what's on his IMDb page. Just out of there. And I like to think what happened is he made this movie and went, I have officially made one of the shittiest films in the last 50 years. Good night. And then just walked away. And that was it. Like, he couldn't top that or bottom that,
so,
I guess.
Shitty or not, I gotta admit, I did have fun.
Oh, you gotta have fun
with this film.
I had a little fun. I had more fun with that first 5 minutes. I mean, okay. So Ibbet the other day.
Let's talk about the first 5 minutes.
Ibbet says, hey, make sure you make your wife watch that first 5 minutes. And I thought, what is he talking about? This is so weird. And so we did.
Because otherwise, and the reason I said this, because otherwise you'll watch the first 5 minutes. You'll pause it. You'll say, honey, you got to come see this.
You were saving me time is what you're doing. And I appreciate that. So I did what you said. And it is one of the weirdest, most memorable openings of a horror movie I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like no straight up. Yeah. For those who didn't watch, and but you still listen to the show, there's plenty of you I know that do that. I still don't know how The Wire did what it did, but there's a bunch of people dancing.
It was supernatural, we find out later. So.
Okay, well, that's true. Yeah. But there are people dancing on the deck. It's basically the captain's ball, which is a thing they used to do.
Dancing on the captain's ball.
Maybe they still do. I don't know if they do that now. But they all these people, everybody in the world who's tall enough to get cut in half by a wire.
You must be this high to enjoy the captain's ball.
There's some really interesting physics going on there because the girl who got missed.
Emily Browning.
Yeah, Emily Browning, which we know from tons of stuff.
She's Deadwife in American Gods currently.
She's naked a lot in movies.
She is naked a lot.
Yeah, that's her thing now. But when she was
good thing she wasn't in this.
Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't naked in this. But there's this really inexplicable moment where she's being hugged by the captain in a slow dance hug. Mm-hmm. And the wire has ripped through the crowd and cut everyone in half. Except for the captain whose face is cut in half, but everyone around them is cut at the waist.
He was bent over dancing with Emily Browning, who's not that short.
No.
But all right, but everybody cut at the waist. He'd have to be like a right angle.
Mm-hmm. I thought everybody was cut in the rib cage
in the stomach. And I thought it was very clearly depicted. Like I didn't have a problem with that at all. I'm interested.
It seemed weird, like that was some funky wire business to me. But anyway, the point of it here's the other part that's completely lame. It's fine for a movie, but in real life, first of all, nothing's that sharp that it would just cleanly cut through all of those people without any resistance and people falling over.
Oh, I don't know. You've used those cheese graters that are basically a roller with a wire next to it.
Yeah.
It's just that on a bigger
scale.
But cheese don't have
muscle and bone in it.
Yeah, do you ever have bone?
If it's going fast enough.
All right, let's say that you're right. Let's say that's 100% plausible.
Yeah. I think we need Adam Savage to try this.
Maybe. But if that's 100% plausible, here's my other take.
Yeah.
Nobody would just sit there going,
looking around one of those trees in World of Warcraft, like, oh, am I dead? Oh, I'm sliding off my body.
Once again, I am a fan of the effect more so than really worried about reality. Just like we've talked about, you know, melting Nazi faces. It lasts with you forever. It's not possible. However, it is cool.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, the top half of the body stacked on the bottom half of the body thing, I think is, you know, that's, I'll give
it's
it
a trope.
Few seconds of, it is a trope. And I'll give it the few seconds of, oh no, they've been cut in half and they don't realize it yet. But the guy whose arm is like holding a cigarette, the first guy you see, gravity would have pulled that arm down immediately. It's not going to sit there for, you know, like a like Wile E. Coyote running in midair before it finally drops.
I'm glad you brought up the tree ant things in World of Warcraft when they die, because that's what it reminded me of immediately. I was like, oh my gosh, that's like those things.
Look,
it's still effective though. I want to make that clear. I don't think this is bad. This is the best part of the movie.
Right. I don't know what kind of physics goes on in a death ship. I can't say, but you know, maybe this is how it works there.
Maybe,
Mr. Ferryman.
Can we just talk about other movies with this trope?
Always.
where a person is cut and for a second or two they don't know it and then they slide apart. Or
I got a good one.
Right. Okay, what is it?
Highlander.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Highlander's good.
The head cut off and not realizing it until it starts falling off.
We've even had a few on FilmSack, but the one I'm going to think of the most in my head is Underworld, the first Underworld with Kate Beckinsale and all those people. It was Bill Nighy.
Okay. Yeah.
At the end, he's Vincent, the master vampire guy, and he gets sliced with a sword, and he looks all nonplussed for a second, and then from the tip of one shoulder down to the mid arm of the other side. It just sloughs off like a piece of separate meat. It was fantastic. Yeah,
that's definitely a human fear that we have of amputation and
I
mean, it's very valid.
Absolutely. We just saw it in Piranha 3D. We saw two girls get bisected. I always think of the Phantom Menace, where
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I had two ends to my lightsaber and I still lost.
I think the reason that we don't like that or beheadings and things like it is because there is a expectation of a little bit of life left. Like you're going to have final thoughts. You're going to have that moment of shock, even if it's just shock or whatever, but you're going to see stuff. And if it's at your midsection, you're definitely not dying right away. Right. Like you're going to feel that.
The good news is our body goes into shock, so you don't really have to deal with it. Your body's like, nah, I'm turning all this off.
Yeah, this is no good. Turn this off. Yeah. Unplug
no
it.
No good.
Good night.
Did you guys notice that this film didn't revel in the gore of anything ever? When the demon kills Francesca with a hook lifts her up off the floor, like this movie didn't depict these things real clearly. You're supposed to imagine a lot of like the bisecting and so on, because you're not going to actually see it.
Yeah.
Right. And this film also does something that I haven't quite been able to put my finger on, but we're kept at a distance from all the characters. It felt like I was never close to the characters. It felt like the dialogue wasn't spoken in a way that felt like I was a part of the movie. It felt like I was outside of it.
Yeah, I think I think you're absolutely right. It also wasn't that scary. Like there was nothing that really scared me in this movie. There weren't even jump scares, and I had headphones on and was right up next to a screen. It didn't really get me.
Not even when Carl Urban reached for the clock.
No, that didn't even get me. The only part that maybe got me a little,
when Gabriel Byrne finds a freshly poured glass of scotch in the captain's quarters.
Yeah,
and he looks up at the mirror.
I think that more than that, the one where he's sitting at the table and the bottle starts moving and the camera switches and the hand's now moving the bottle, that was actually pretty effective. But it was more creepy than scary. Like, I never got, like, ghost creepy in this at all. Like, this isn't The Conjuring. This isn't even, like, that ghost house show, the thing that's on Netflix that I like so much. Like, there's just none. They don't get ghosts right, in my opinion. Shit that just moves around and doors that open and shut, that's, like, base level ghosting. Like, big deal.
The haunting of Isaiah Washington's crotch was the only part that really felt, you know, ghosty to me.
Movie too, the haunting of Isaiah Washington's crotch.
Right.
I like him as an actor, but he's so different here than he is on that Grey's Anatomy business.
One of the few likable characters in this film.
For me, it's his character in the movie Exit Wounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I like Exit Wounds so much.
Is that the one where he looks like DMX? He's got that DMX hair.
Right, yes. And DMX is the star of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so Isaiah Washington, for some reason, looks like DMX. Is very confusing. But I really like the guy. Like, he's just solid. Like, in Grey's Anatomy, he's like the best thing in Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good.
Pretty likable.
He's super likable. I normally love Carl Urban. I just couldn't stand him in this. He just drove me up a wall.
I love that he was so oily. I don't know what it was.
Heavy metal, greasy Carl Urban, basically. Yeah, right. It's your like, I'm listening to Megadeth as soon as I'm done with this movie, Carl Urban.
No, you're totally right. Who's the other? I mean, Gabriel Byrne's above all this. I don't even know why he's in it.
Yeah, that was curious. Why are you
even in this thing? But the guy who played Santos was terrible.
I disagree. I just think I don't know. I thought Alex, a lot of this casting is kind of lowish budget, right? This is before Carl Urban was in The Lord of the Rings and so on.
Yeah.
But like, I thought it was great. Juliana Margulies is amazing. Like, she's you can't do better than her in this role. This is perfect.
I like her a lot. I wish she was in more. I mean, I guess she's in plenty of things, but she's
she was the heart of this film.
On the Sopranos was fantastic.
Oh, she was on that? Wait a minute.
She was on that. She was a romantic interest
for Tony for a while. Yeah. I forgot about that. I never saw the, what's the deals? Somebody's wife?
The Good Wife.
The Good Wife.
Oh, she is the Good Wife.
Yeah. I heard that was really good. But I never watched that. I mean, for a network show, it was supposed to be pretty good. What really threw me, though, is that I didn't know Emily Browning was this young at 2002. I thought had a much longer career than this. I mean, she was born
about 13 making this movie.
Yeah, something like that. Let's see, born in 88. So, yeah, she'd have been about 13 or something. She's good for this. Like, she's a haunting, weird-looking kid. Right. You know, kind of beautiful in a weird way, and then in other ways, freaky and weird. And that's kind of her thing.
Can we try to explain the logic of the thing, though?
Yeah.
So, like, she didn't die in the snap, but she died, I guess, died somehow.
Starvation over the 40 years.
Well, they actually, they show her body hung. And in the beginning, we think that she hung herself because no one else died and she was just alone.
But if she'd hung herself, she would have committed a sin.
Right, but she didn't.
Okay, right. All right. So that's the thing. As long as you don't commit any sins, you're in limbo with this demon. This demon can't take you. So he needs you to be sinful, and then he gets to load your corpse onto this ship. And it's like, okay, I get that. But then if everybody who died on the boat was commissioned a sin, then how at the end do they all get to be part of the Northern Lights? I don't understand. Like, I need logic to go all the way to the end.
You've been forgiven. Right. Come on up.
I think the idea, I think the idea was somewhat very loosely as this, that these are only, some of these people were only light sinners, very lightweight sinners that could be redeemed. But if he could get a whole boat full, then he could get like a bulk discount or something. It could make it happen. Even the Emily Browning character was supposed to be going.
So are we saying that Julianna Margulies was the redemptrix? Like, she's the mother of Jesus.
She is definitely of the better.
She's just Ripley. She's just Ripley in this, right? Just Ripley.
She's Ripley. No, but she's Madonna by this sort of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like she somehow in blowing up the boat saves all those souls,
right?
She converts them Madonna from being
Ripley, though, because she, you know, up until that point, she is the lone woman.
Maybe they got a time served, you know, they've been on there 40 years.
That's good. Maybe. I like that.
You fixed it. Paid your dues. You've been absolved.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's also this trope around it where the ghost, you think the ghosts are the problem in the beginning, like they're going to be the great conflict, and in the end they're actually benevolent and
they're also
kind
victims.
And victims. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's this one demonic dude who, you know, is collecting souls and pretending to be whatever he's pretending to be. And the ending of this movie made me want to pull my freaking hair out because
he's not. I loved it.
How did they salvage the crates off the sunken ship?
Yeah, that goal's not real, man.
In the time between when she's picked out of the ocean and she's loaded onto an ambulance.
Yeah. The ferryman, he's like a leprechaun. He's got his own bounty of gold.
Is that what's going on? Because the gold seemed to be the thing that tied him to all of it, right?
Yeah,
dirty gold or whatever.
Yeah, that's his bag of temptation, I suppose.
Wow. All right. Somehow you made it better by saying it that way. I don't know how you did that, but you did.
By the way, have we ever talked about the trope of the decoy protagonist?
No, but if we're going to.
So that would be when you think you have a protagonist and they don't actually ever do anything. And that's Captain Murphy in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you think, oh, he's going to be like the leader of the. Nope. He does nothing. Yeah, he has no impact on this. Like, he's not at the helm when they wreck into the ship. He makes no real meaningful decisions. It's kind
also
of remarkable.
Also has like the weakest death. He's just like, where's he at? I haven't seen him in a while. Let's go check on him. Oh, he's floating like a dead beta fish in a tank.
Yeah. It's a weird thing for them to mess with. Also, this movie felt like a PG-13 movie that at the last second they said, just put in the stuff that makes it R. Like,
is ghost tits? Is that rated R?
Ghost tits.
No, I mean, I think that everybody getting cut in half scene probably is.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
I don't know. It didn't seem that gory to me. What I think got it was just language and boobs. Boobs. I forgot about boobs. Yeah, there were boobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gone are the days, by the way, when you could do, like, I remember when we were growing up, PG got you some boobs.
Yeah,
not now.
You couldn't, You couldn't have a teen movie without at least one boob.
Always. Or even just movies like, you know, Airplane, PG. You got boobs in the airplane. If you watched the first Clash of the Titans, butt and boobs. And that was PG. So PG-13 came along, and then suddenly it got more stringent even about who was going to get the boobs in it. That's reserved for our business these days, I think.
Right.
But anyway, well, we have some clips.
Which is fine with me, because most of the time the shots were never served the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, it kind of served it here. The temptation of Isaiah Washington's crotch, it ended up at the bottom of that.
He was ready to roll.
I gotta join up with Brian Dunaway. As I usually do. I'm glad we watched this movie. I enjoyed watching this movie.
Yeah.
It is not as bad as people have made it out to be.
I think it was a fun time. Fun. Yeah. 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 Like Ibbitt said it earlier. You had a good time watching it, but I can't call it good. Like, it's not good. Right.
No, it's definitely not a good film.
No.
But it's entertaining, and it's perfect for film sec. Like, yeah. It is a great film sec film.
And it's the second in less than a month, I think, movies that we've done about salvagers, underwater salvage people.
And second, Gabriel Byrne, too.
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. What was he in?
He was in The Musketeers.
Yeah, of course.
Right, another movie where I felt like he was just paying the bills because he's
Iron
too
Mask,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Man in the Iron. Man in the Iron Three Musketeers. That's the guy.
That's right. Man with the iron sprinklers.
I love the set of this place, the actual set of the ship. And
did you do any reading about how they filmed it?
No,
it was really clever that they started out trying to find a boat, and they realized they just couldn't do what they wanted to do, so they just built sets. And it really felt like they filmed on a boat.
That reflective stuff they used was really cool. The way the water looked like it was reflecting through portholes and stuff, and then there's just a rusted out kind of Resident Evil quality to everything,
right?
Which I thought was great. Set design was awesome. That stuff.
So
was awesome.
Our director pulled some strings and got the visual effects people from who just did Scooby-Doo, which we've seen on here. Yeah, they just done the Scooby-Doo movie.
Really?
Fantastic. I mean, he's got friends in high, low places.
Absolutely, and I think they did a much better job in this film.
Of creating atmosphere and stuff. Yeah. That Scooby Doo stuff doesn't hold up very well. I don't think
it was so Scooby Doo. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Early on, there's what looks like a helicopter shot where you see the whole ship underway in the ocean and people dancing on it and so on. And turns out that was miniatures, and they erased the miniature so that they could go back in and CGI the ship and the people. And I thought for 2002, it looked real good.
Smart.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's got that stuff. Like, there's bits of it where you're like, oh, all right, you made a movie here. This isn't some low budgety hoo ha. But then I'd hear dialogue and go, no, this is shitty. You're just all talking garbage. Like, there were extended bits of dialogue where it was so bad.
Right.
I really felt like, dude, you know how many starving writers there are in Hollywood? Freaking.
I think the main problem was, since this was an ensemble cast, they never stuck with any character long enough to really develop anything.
And that's the thing. That's the thing.
Juliana Margulies and Gabriel Byrne, I feel like they're, you know, her crushed appearance when she saw him floating in the water.
Right.
Because he was like a father to it. That was believable to me, that reaction.
So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really care. Who cares about Ron Eldard and Carl Urban?
I cared about Carl Urban way more than I should have.
The movie lets you know that it's going to kill them by not doing anything with them in the first place. Right. And that's too bad, because like that first bit where they're towing a sinking something, and she rappels over to it, and they have to like weld a thing in place underwater, holding their breath without a mask on. That's all weird. Oh, but like you see that, and it's like, whoa, that could have been just like a minute longer, and you would have gotten to know those characters a little better.
Do you guys in the trope of like only one person survives and everyone gets picked off one by one? Do you prefer that one survives, or do you always like it when like two survive? And often they're like the most you know, personalities are opposite or whatever, but they, they make it together and they, whatever. How do you prefer that?
I like two because then there are two people to corroborate the story when they're picked up and you're wondering why there's like 11 people dead and these are the only two people to tell.
Yeah. And that's why I like one, because everybody treats you like you're a lunatic and that's always good for a sequel, right?
I swear there were aliens. Yeah. I swear.
Yeah. I think I like the two because I feel better for them.
Yes.
Moving into the future that I can't see.
And now they've got another person that they can kind of, oh man, we went through that. We got through it on the other side together and we can, we're our support structure. And,
but you're you're kind of killing your sequel chances though there, right?
Yeah. I mean, sort of. Like look at Aliens. They had a bunch of survivors and then they started.
Oh, and Aliens. Yes. Yeah, only one in Alien.
Well, that's my point. In Aliens, they had all these survivors, but at the end, or sorry, the beginning of Alien 3, they kill off all the other sympathetic
characters. Yeah, that's
because
they said, I need to make a sequel, but look what you did in part two. How am I supposed to do it now?
Oh my gosh, I'd never thought of this. You might be right, dude.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. That suddenly my whole opinion of that might change only slightly because I still think only 3 starts really rough.
I would have had, I'm with Brian, I would have had Greer also survive and literally have him and Epps get loaded into the same ambulance side by side.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That would have been way more powerful to have them. Yeah.
There's that. You know what would have made that perfect? They get in that ambulance. They're taken to a Chicago hospital and then they decide the doctors there decide to transfer them to Seattle. So this way you got the ER and the Grey's Anatomy dude in every possible scenario that recalls their careers on TV.
I'm absolutely down with the Greer surviving as well. I would like to meet his fiance and try to explain his regret. I'd like to see me really beat up though. Yeah. You know, just like hanging on. Yeah. Yeah. That would
have
been good.
Yeah, it would have I'm a fan of two.
Technically two survive because Ghost Quinn survived as well.
Oh right. Whose only weak spot apparently is a knife in the foot underwater.
Yeah. So. he takes damage, but he's apparently able to recover very quickly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. Kind of like a.
I guess. I mean, that's the problem, though. They don't really explain him. Like his ability to do whatever he does isn't very well explained, and why he needs to bother with any of these people. Is it just to get the boat fixed? That was it, right? That's the
He needed the boat fixed because he needed the souls so he could please management in hell.
I love that he won't just say what he's talking about. He got to work with management. Okay, whatever, dude. What are your euphemisms?
Yeah, but why couldn't he just fix it himself? You know?
He's so powerful.
He's a ghost.
Yeah.
He's so powerful, though. He's able to manipulate metal. We see him swing a beam around and hit Epps in the face.
Yeah, he has full-on force power, that guy. That annoyed me.
But he still don't know how boats work, so, you know.
That's true, I guess. But I really just like it when they define a antagonist's range. Like, what are they capable of? And if it's all mysterious, and if it's mysterious, keep it mysterious.
I think it's more that he's a manipulator. It's beneath him. He often acts like things are beneath him. It's like, I don't like fixing the boat. I'll go to the shore and talk some fools into it. And while in the meantime, also get some extra souls.
Yeah.
Two for one. Why,
did any of you notice that all 7 deadly sins were depicted?
Yes.
Wait.
Oh, I didn't even pick that up.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
I kept looking for it. I assumed it was going to be
there. I saw lust. Who was gluttony? Was it them eating the things, the beans?
Dodge.
Rat poison in the food, right?
Yeah, that's gluttony.
Okay.
There is, like, let's see. So there's pride.
Oh, pride is Carl Urban Munder's character, right? Is that?
I don't know. That's not bad. I was thinking of Greer.
Greer was like adultery, right?
Well, his was lust.
Well, so that would be lust. There's a number of versions of that with the Francesca character, who of course is in a red dress. That's so tropey, guys.
I know I'm not supposed to laugh at that part, but when he fell through her and down the shaft, I laughed really hard.
Yeah, and then that's what she liked. Here's my real ugly ghost self.
Here's my old lady ghost self, goodbye. And then him falling through her and dying. I don't know why that was so funny. I laughed really hard. That should have been sad and hard to watch. It wasn't
actually her, right? It's the demon pretending to be her.
Okay, now that's my question, because they weren't consistent there either. Are the ghosts good or aren't they? Is it was it her who's got this evil twisty thing where she wants to drop men down a shaft, or was that somebody else? I don't think it's clear that it's him. It's clear. To me, they just make it seem like, oh, well, that ghost is just a bit of a bitch and everybody else is okay, I guess.
Right.
I think Ferryman can use the, you know, the image, the person of the people whose souls he's
changeling. Right. He's a changeling of sorts, right? That's what I was guessing.
But why was he? So he's a ghost and then he changes to old lady ghost? Like, why bother?
Yeah. That's my big question. That's where the logic falls apart.
Like, it's so freaking powerful. Amused. Yeah. He's easily amused by these things. He's amused by his own cleverness.
Because it struck me that they were just in the script went, hey, we need to have a moment here where a ghost does something really gnarly. How about that?
And they did that. I'm going to agree with you on that, Scott. The script, I read a little bit about the script. And it was actually sold to the actors as a different script. The script that the actors read and agreed to was not the script that was delivered. It was a lot different.
The irony of a bait and switch with this.
Yeah, movie. Yeah. He is the Ferryman.
Would you? Okay, here's one other question. This is a very dumb question. Do you think that Greer fell down that shaft and died on those stakes or those spikes?
It was cabling, right?
Was it a full? Do you think he had a full bone when he landed?
That quickly? I mean,
I've heard when you die, sometimes you get a bone. So,
I always heard you pooped your pants. Is what I heard.
That too. Yeah, you just everything just out.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Everything's just out. Your belly button's an outie now.
You blow up.
Okay.
Yeah.
You inflate.
You don't realize how much we're all holding in every day.
I guess so. You know what? That's my worst fear is that that I'm going to die in some sort of public setting and just fall to the ground, and the first thing out of me is going to be
all those muscles we don't control, but they're contracted because we don't mentally control them. They release.
Yeah. Or what's that called? The
smooth muscles?
Atomic system. Autotomic. That's correct. And it's all the stuff we have, like our heart beating and our breathing and the stuff you don't normally have to think about.
Our sphincter muscles.
Yeah. Which mine right now, I'm very aware of it suddenly.
Yeah, I'm constantly holding in.
I'm doing Kegels right now.
Yeah. Did anyone else think that the Ferryman, the bad guy dude, looked a lot like Trump's son-in-law? What's his name?
Oh, Jared Kushner.
Jared Kushner. Oh, I didn't think of that.
He looked like the guy from Dexter that was always chasing Dexter, and he was the guy from Dexter who was always chasing Dexter.
Yeah, that was literally that guy. He's good in Dexter. He's terrible in
really
this.
He's really good in Dexter, yeah.
But he's terrible in this.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I thought it was way over the top, but this whole movie was way over the top. So I think he was one of the few actors that actually got it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's fair. When he does his little transformation and becomes less of a weenie and more of a listen, you don't know what you're doing. Like his voice changes.
He does that on the bridge right in front of Ron Eldard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the, okay. And I got all excited. Like, yeah, we're going to go to town. And then we're just cut away. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And they tell about it later.
I wonder why. Like, I just, the rest of the movie, I'm just like, what didn't go right with that scene?
He's not the guy in Legion, is he? Am I thinking of, Dan Stevens?
Nobody
is what I'm
looks
thinking
like
of.
Him, right? Is it?
A little bit. Or not Legion, the show. Like, sorry. Legion, the movie.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
The one
where Legion, the movie.
People are begging for us to watch that, by the way.
I'm one of the ones begging us to watch that.
So terrible.
Isn't it?
Love it, though.
Paul Bettany's what I'm thinking of, which is totally not at all like that guy. But
They kind of got like a thing in common. It kind of got like an attitude.
Sorry to shift gears. Is that that's on our list, isn't it? That's got to be.
Should be.
It's streaming right now. We should put that in somewhere.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah, let's get Legion in there.
Get on that.
Why isn't Legion being watched? Anyway.
Was there a thing that grossed Scott out the most?
Yes.
Is the canned food too, like the,
no,
not
that's,
the canned food?
That's too easy.
It's too proppy.
Carl Urban did actually have to put live grub worms in his mouth.
Well, they make it look like he does, but he doesn't. Like, to me, those things are too contrived and too set up, and they're effective, you know, visually, but those sorts of things never grossed me out.
Well, guys, those were wiggling, like real wiggling. Right.
Oh, I don't think he was. The stuff on his tongue wasn't moving. Oh, he just looked like a mouthful of rice pudding or something. He was.
It did. It really did.
Yeah, they were. Now, I looked at that very closely because I was like, all right, well, here's a moment where I need to be paying attention very closely to see if this grosses me out or not. And I was like, yeah, that's just mush.
I think an implied gross out might have been what got Scott. I think Gabriel Byrne's character, Murphy, picking up that 40-year-old open container of scotch and contemplating drinking it is what got Scott.
That was it.
Really?
You totally nailed it. This idea of somebody's poured drink that's been sitting there, because at that point he doesn't know how old it is.
It wasn't in the bottle, or that you're talking about in the glass.
Yes. The bottle, fine. Age, that's what whiskey is. But the point that there, you know, that it is this open glass that's just sitting in the ship long before he knows there's ghosts there. Yeah. Dude, and you're about to drink it before you get the mirror thing? I'm like, come on, dude.
Just even thinking about it, it's like, no, stop.
Maybe he's that kind of alcoholic. It's just gone so far that it doesn't matter.
He's drunk.
Like, I don't know. But I just, that did gross me out. Nothing else in the movie really got me, because the rest of it was just made up, contrived, whatever. There were no awkward kisses. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, lip smacky. None of the stuff that usually gets under my skin, but that did. I didn't like that. Also, how much work would you go through to dress yourselves up in 40-plus-year-old meat locker wrapper things?
Oh, yeah. How long do they have to wait for
that sucked.
Margulies to show up?
Yeah.
I was so mad. I was so mad at the slackness of this whole group, because they kept always talking about there's no way we can get all the work done in two days. And all they did was goof off.
Yeah.
And the only time they worked was for like half a minute in the movie. Like, it's like, okay, it's time to get serious. And it took them like 10 minutes or something to patch the boat up.
Yeah.
I was just so mad.
It was obnoxious. Yeah. Uh-huh. It annoyed me. So when they did that, I went, all right. In fact, as soon as I saw one of their heads turn, I went, it's those guys. Why are they in here? Why would you go through that trouble? And also put on your body and face a thing that's that disgusting. Okay, that grossed me out too. So there you go. Two things grossed me out.
Two things.
That the implication of what you're wearing, that's old meat. Like, what is that even called? I don't know. Meat bags. It's old meat bags. Meat sacks. Yeah.
Get out of the meat bags.
It's like putting a 40-year-old cow scrotum on your head. Not cool.
And when they found the clean ones that were still wrapped in plastic and climbed into those,
There was nothing clean on that boat. And if I heard them one more time say how beautiful the ship was when they were looking at trash, I'm like, no, it's not beautiful.
Did you guys know that Gabriel Byrne actually replaced Brian Cox?
What?
Who I like a lot. He's a cool actor.
Is that right? Because wasn't Brian Cox in Death Ship, the 80s, which is almost just like this?
Really? I don't know what Death Ship is. Death Ship, 1980. This looks like a mysterious ghostly freighter rams and sinks a modern-day cruise ship where survivors climb aboard the freighter and discover that it is a World War II Nazi torture vessel.
Mm-hmm.
George Kennedy, let's see. No, I don't see Brian Cox on that list.
All right.
But Brian Cox had to do The Ring, so he backed out and did The Ring, and Gabriel Byrne took his parking spot. So there you go. Also, there were 92 dead people in this movie, and I don't know how they came to that number, because I understand the cast that died. We count those, but how do you know how many of those ship people?
Maybe they were counting the ghost. Yeah, there you go.
They were flying up. There's like
one, two, three, four. Already counted that one.
We have a bunch now that came around from the other side.
Yeah. 3, 6, 9, 13. Okay, we got it. I think we got it. 92. It's a really weird thing. That's all I really have. Do you have other things about this movie? I mean, you know, ships, ghosts.
Oh my.
Bullshit.
Yeah, you really gotta check your sensibilities at the door and try to not logic it, because it's supposed to be a wild ride. It's the fifth element, not the fifth element. It's Event Horizon. Mm. It's Event Horizon on a boat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good call. Yeah.
And like that is a supernatural tale is what I'm saying. So don't think too hard and have fun.
Yeah.
I do have one question. I couldn't figure out what Emily Browning's character was playing with. That was that puzzle. that she had. It's like a
black and white,
like a Rubik's
thing, right?
Rubik's rope kind of thing going on. It was. Yeah.
Did you? I swear, when we were kids, we had something like this, but it was like that snake that you would
Rubik's snake. But then this one had letters and stuff. I thought it was like some sort of key to unlock something else. Mm-hmm. But it never really became that, right? Like, it wasn't the, oh, if we enter these words into this safe, then we'll get the gold. But
it looks it looked a lot like a physical crossword puzzle.
That was
laid out like that. Exactly, I've never seen that before. So if that was a thing that existed in 1962, you got me.
I'm sure it was. It's just like, that's a really limited toy. Like, there's only so many things you can spell out when you have four sides.
Right.
And like, come on.
Are we to assume when they took her into that room when she was a girl with the switchblade that was where she died?
Yeah, they hung her because we were led to believe early on that she was also a sinner because she killed herself. And then we found out later that she was killed. And so, I don't know. That was foolish on Ferryman's part, because if you kill her when she's innocent, then you kind of locked in your loss.
Okay.
Right. Okay. You can't make her a sinner after that, right?
Was Santos a sinner because he has sex with his car when no one's looking, or what? What was his deal? Why did he get stuck there?
Was he the greediest one? I was trying to remember exactly what.
He was, because he was the one who was like, "We're gonna be rich, $100 million." Yeah. He was the most vocal about
right.
The...
All right. So he
coveted things, I suppose. So yeah, just very worldly and. Possession.
Well, good job, Santos. You now you're the hound and you're alive in the ship. Well done. Well, let's play some clips. I got clips that are available to us to play, and they are about this film. And I'm going to play this one here because of how stoked these guys are. So here's them early in the film, reveling in their most recent catch, I guess, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, here's to the best damn salvage crew in the business.
Yeah, we did it, guys.
Yeah, look at that.
All right, nice work.
Yeah.
We did good. High five.
Let's add some more voices in post. Yeah. All right.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
There you go. I would have preferred that movie. Here's a nice line from McCoy.
Everybody knows you Navy boys take it up the ass.
Eldar over there laughing. He thinks that's funny. Here's a digital watch comment, because why not?
Hey, it's a watch. Congratulations, buddy.
No, look again, you moron. It's a digital watch.
They ever resolve that? Like, the idea was just that somebody else had been there.
He'd been collecting souls for a while.
Right. And
that was
So this was to explain to you, the viewer, that people have come and gone and died on this ship recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess.
It clearly didn't get through. No. It didn't work.
It didn't work on me. To me, it was just
The only thing that got through to me was back in 2002, we must have been really hot on the word congratulations for sarcasm. Oh, congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
You found a ship. Oh, congratulations. Yeah. You found a watch.
Yeah, right. It didn't change until 2009 when Christian Bale taught us to say, oh, good for you. And then it changed.
Good for you.
Here's one for you. I don't know what this is. Here it is.
What the?
Oh, people. Okay. Oh, no,
when nobody says that.
No one says what the when they see a thing ever.
What?
Yeah. I actually did write that down in my notes and I forgot to bring it up. What the?
I hate that. Just finish. First of all, if you're going to do it, say a whole sentence. Say what the F, what the hell, what the H, say something. But don't say what the.
What the?
What the?
What the?
Here's a thing.
Stop dragging ass.
All right. Here's some bad dialogue. Enjoy.
We have the materials. We have the manpower. Why don't we just build a raft and get off of this thing? I told you guys earlier that there was something seriously wrong with this boat. The longer we stay here, the less chance we have to survive.
You want to build a raft?
I want to build a raft.
Epps, even with the Warrior, we were stretching to get this done in 3 days. We can't do this. I can't do it.
Munder, you're the best bot welder I know.
Jeez, everyone just... Get off this boat. You all suck. Oh, my gosh.
That's classic horror stuff. I mean, that's the classic. What's the right answer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's all go around the table and we all have different opinions.
Yeah.
Because we got to explain why in the world would these people stay on this boat?
Right. And you got to get all heated about it. And
yeah,
everybody's got
to be a whole thing.
Yeah, I totally Totally can see that. All right, here's a swallow sound, which I didn't like. It was almost my gross pick. Here you go. There you go. Did you hear that? Oh, dude.
I didn't even hear that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Freaking Greer. It's when Greer, just before Greer got sent to the past or whatever.
Right. That sounds like a video game gulp.
It does to me, too. It's definitely in post. Yeah. Ugh. Do not like. All right. Here's a great exchange that maybe is my best clip of the day. Here you go.
I'm going to get you like a lifetime supply of titty magazines and toilet paper.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever, Beavis and Butthead. What is this?
Right. It kind of feels like they didn't memorize their lines.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're just like saying some things that sound like what their memory of the lines are.
Yeah.
Right.
It's lines. Really bad. Here's a scream for you.
Is it toilet paper?
Yeah, toilet paper, you know, and titty magazines.
I'm going to get you like a lifetime supply of titty magazines and toilet paper.
They're all loaded up on maggots. So they don't even know they're eating. It's great. All right, here's a scream for you. All right, that's one right there. Hey, look at this acting. This is also bad.
We may just get out of this yet.
Zillionaires.
Zillionaires. No, millionaires. We know it's like worth $300 million. Why are you saying zillionaires, dumbass? Especially because you have to split it. Oh, Carl right. Urban, dude, you're so bad in this. Here's a funny joke that I don't know if they meant to tell.
Oh, shit. Number two's clogged. Who's going? You go.
Number two's clogged.
What ghost got out the most?
What was the second one clogged? Was it a ghost clog? So he had to go down there and then get ground up? Was that
yeah.
How?
Okay. Ghost clog.
Ghost clog.
It's like yeah. that's when you take a ghost crap and then the toilet stops up. You're like, how?
Yeah. For those who don't know what Dunaway's talking about there, just we should probably educate and take a moment to educate. Sometimes you take a big dump and you're sure, you know you did it, but you get up and there's nothing there.
Right.
It's just gone. And the assumption, everyone called them when I grew up, it was called a ghost boopy. But you know what happens? It's basically, it's actually kind of a good thing because that means you had an aerodynamic,
yeah,
perfectly formed dump.
And low in fat because everything that you expelled did not have anything that would float.
Right. So it just went like a torpedo down and up, just down and up. It's pretty great.
Right. I mean, if we could do that, we could save all kinds of water on Flushing.
I imagine a world in the future where this was true. All right. How about this? These lines are bad.
I'm sinking the boat. It's taken its last victim.
But that'll kill us.
We're going to have to take our chances.
What about the gold?
That's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's real bad.
Take our chances.
And again, by the way, if the demon needs them to repair the boat because it keeps running into rocks and it's going to sink and it's his only way to collect souls and he needs them to help, why isn't he helping them?
Yep.
Why is he trying so hard to keep them from repairing the freaking boat?
Yep.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right. Yeah, he only needed the few, right? He only needed the three skilled workers.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Three skilled. Oh, right. Because he can do because of the.
Make the three skilled workers want to get out of there fast enough to fix the boat.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the
Santos was not skilled. Red shirt from the go.
Oh, yeah. He was red shirt from the start. Okay. This is called What Are You? So here you go.
What the f are you?
I'm a salvager. Just like you.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
See, that would have been a cool name too.
Salvager.
Salvager.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Better than Ghost Ship.
Yeah, Ghost Ship. Come on.
Ghost Ship.
Well, actually, that name, I think, leads you into expectations that the movie can't uphold and drives down the rating of the film in the end. Like I really think if that name was better, it would have set your mind in a different place. I see this name and I'm just like, oh, so I'm going to have like iced tea fighting ghosts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop it with your better ideas, Randy, because that's a better idea. All right. Here's a bang and then a scream. Enjoy. That's when he got stabbed. That guy. All right. Well, that's that. Those are these.
The car horn guy, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He's a little like that guy. All right, we're going to do this now. Hold your butts. The Film Site checklist, they should have called this movie Slice of Life. Check. because, you know, people got sliced. When ER and Grey's Anatomy meet, check, and Carl Urban really grinds my gears. Because, you know, gear, that's where he died. Where was he? Oh, Star Trek Connection. We only have one, and it's Carl Urban. He played Mundy in this. In Star Trek, he was, of course, he's our current J.J. verse Dr. McCoy. And a damn fine good one, I believe. I think he's very good in that.
Very surprising that a few of these other actors weren't in Star Trek. Ron Eldard, I figure, could have done a Star Trek, you know, lieutenant or something somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or
showed up on a ship and a DS9 visitor or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally, like a ghost ship. Yeah.
Star Trek had multiple, especially TNG. They had, like, haunted storylines,
yeah,
right?
They did. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Don't forget Crusher's grandmother.
Oh, shit.
Hold
on. Now I have to play it. This is the rule. We have to play that one.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's, oh man, just Crusher. I don't know how I would have called this.
Riker. Wesley.
No, it's Dr. Surely. Crusher. Beverly.
Beverly.
No, I don't have it.
Remember, friends, when you are saving things and you're tagging them today, you're doing future you a favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe this is it. No.
No!
No, I can't find it. all right. Where the heck were we? Oh, it's the soundtrack grade. I give it a KP for Kind of Poop. It just didn't really stand out, and it's fine, whatever. It's one of those movies where you just don't think about it.
Yeah, this movie could have had a great score.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing stopping them from just getting a better score made.
I agree. They could have done better. They had the money. They did okay with the money, with the budget.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad CGI for the boat on the outside, like that. Yeah. Explosions and stuff did not look great.
When they've got the pump going and it's starting to shoot water out the side, that looked like a matte painting of a boat, or like a Photoshop of a boat with just like a little stream of water added to
it. Yeah, like a little pee out the side thing going on. Let's do the Twitter post. 280 characters or less. This is the way we do it. Randy, you start.
Ghost ship. What happens when you get six men and one woman together at night and get them all wet, just like a Saturday night at Ebbets' house?
Yes. Yes.
I was ready for that one.
Could have been any movie with water.
Rip bad.
Brian Dunaway.
Ghost ship, like a box full of gold hoarding rats. What the? Two decapitated thumbs up. Oh no! Thumbs down.
Nice. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Ghost ship. You might find the opening 5 minutes a little divisive. I was split on whether it was good or not, and if I'd seen this movie in the theater and gone halfsies on a movie ticket, I might have demanded my money back, or at least half of it.
Right.
Very nice. I like the way we all went down that path. Yes. What are you going to say?
I didn't think about it until I read my Twitter post, but what was up with those rats in the gold? I mean, mm-hmm. That seems like the most inhospitable place for a rat to go. Like, you would think they would hang out with the maggots.
On, right? It's like the maggots in the...
Also, mm-hmm. Also, by the way, that gold weighs a lot more than you're depicting is so boring. Like,
right.
I am so tired of any time gold is ever depicted, it's wrong.
Yeah, that's... I mean, even when he was tossing it hand to hand, that didn't seem right. Didn't seem right to me.
Yeah, you're tossing a 150-pound little brick from hand to hand. Yeah, that's you.
Where would you even, like, let's say you got off the ship with that. Would you melt all that down and sell it? Like, how would you conspicuously get your gold worth out of it?
Well, that's the thing. These gold bars aren't marked, so you're just going to go sell them.
Yeah. Would you just,
like, anyone will buy them.
Really? Like, where would I go if I had a brick of gold suddenly? Where would I go? What would I do?
I'd go to cash loans and gold purchasing.
Yeah, Eldar's Quicken Loans. I'd go over there.
Okay, so Scott, just searching Salt Lake City. You could go to AAA Jewelers. You could go to Guns and Gold. There's a place called Guns and Gold in Salt Lake City.
I've seen it, but I don't know that they would.
That place has a big American flag in the window.
There's a place called All About Coins that can't wait to buy your gold.
I guess, but if it's a brick like that, and we're talking potentially millions of dollars, or at least, you know, hundreds of thousands per brick, are they? I mean, who's equipped to give me cash for that? And then who wouldn't see that and go, oh my gosh, hey, Billy Bob, get the FBI on the line. I think we got something weird going. Like, it just seems like a bunch of flags would go up.
I'm saying a place called Utah Gold Buyers is going to, for a nice finder's fee, hook you up. Okay. They're going to find someone who wants to, you know, give you a low, low price.
All right.
As long as you prove that you got it from a ship in international waters.
Right. Yeah. They kept spewing the maritime law to us.
Again, the reason money launderers love precious metals so much, because they're just, right, there's no tracing it. Like, who cares? It is value. You can exchange it.
Interesting. All right. Well, whenever I get my gold that I won't ever get, I'll remember all this and figure it out.
28 pounds is how much a bar of gold weighs. That's outrageous.
A lot of pounds, dude.
That is outrageous.
Yeah. That's outrageous. Yeah. You can't take that on a plane is what I'm saying.
No.
All right. Well, that's all well and good. But is this? Oh, this was almost called Ghost Jip. Oh, I'm sorry. Ghost Romani people. Romani
just the
people.
Ghost tip.
Yeah, just the tip. That's pretty good. You should have written that for me. And then finally, and I'm actually kind of proud of this one, Tritanic. That's not bad. All right. Hey, quick emails from listeners. I see emails because I have two of them and a phone call. We're going to rip through these. This one is Jeff from Columbus, Ohio, who says, hello. Yes, first I went back to listen to your review of Hudson Hawk, episode 47 from September 30th, 2010.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you for your service. About 25 minutes into the discussion of Minority Report happens in that movie. I love that you guys still talk about that movie all the time. Love the show, though. Jeff from Columbus, Ohio. Like, apparently, even before we got to sacking that thing, we would refer to it all the time. And
that
makes me happy.
We hadn't even expected at that point.
Well, it goes further back than that on ELR. Yeah. We used to talk about this, me and Scott.
We did.
Yeah.
Yep. And you hated it then. You've been consistent.
I am consistently a hater on the Minority Report.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You never were in it to win it for that movie. No. Here's one from Daryl who wrote in, says, hey, Sackers, just wanted to make sure you guys knew that the 2010 film Legion, speaking of Legion, is currently on Netflix. Paul Bettany, Dennis Quaid, Lucas Black, Adriana Palicki, and Charles S. Dutton. I like him too. And Randy's man crush, Tyrese Gibson, all feature in the film.
Tasty.
He's a tasty man. Plus, Doug Jones does Scott's most favorite thing, look weird and have a larger than normal mouth. He said, this turd is all wind. Love the show, though, Daryl. Yeah, we want to see this bad. Yeah. Let's get it in there. I meant to see it when it came out, actually, so finally fulfilling my grand old wish. Thank you for that email, Daryl. We will definitely, if not, at the very least, we're getting it on the list and maybe even have it sooner than later, because that thing is not going to be on Netflix very long, probably. All right, this is the phone call for the week, and this is funny, so check it out.
Hey, guys. This is Ashley, a.k.a. Jackalope. This message is for FilmSec. I apologize in advance for putting this mental image in your head again, but I cannot believe that you guys actually think that was Gerard Depardieu's butt in The Man in the Iron Mask. That was clearly a butt double. He didn't even have the same color hair as Gerard Depardieu. He had, like, brown hair. It was absolutely not the same person. And what I want to know is, and what I spent the whole movie wondering, is why he and Gerard Depardieu couldn't trade off the wigs they were wearing. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed that I spent so much time thinking about this. But anyway, go back and look at that image again if you dare. It's definitely not his butt.
I think it's totally his butt. I disagree with Jackalope, Ashley.
And no, I am not going to go back and watch that again. Yeah. No. The whole point of that call was to trick us.
Right. It's a second look. We've been butt rolled.
I feel like if there's one person in the world that you can rely on to show his butt in a film, it's Gerard Depardieu.
I'll be honest with you. I was only watching out of the corner of my eye. Once his butt possibility showed up on screen, I just kind of, looked out of the corner of my eye, so I can't verify.
Yeah, I went back and captured it. I'm still sure it's him. I'm 100% sure that's him.
This requires more research.
Plus, it was too dark to see what color the hair on his. I assume she means the hair on his head, by the way.
Right.
But if his hair was, like a body double's hair was brown, I think the lighting is impossible to tell if it was brown or blonde. Like, I think he's in an old barn. He tried to hang himself. He fell into a bunch of hay, and he's getting up, and that's his butthole. That's it. That is Gerard Depardieu's
butthole.
That is
one of my favorite calls. Please keep those kind of calls coming.
That was awesome. Jackalope Ashley, a great member of the community, but also timely with the butthole call. Thank you.
Oh, hey. Yeah. We never said the hole. We never said the hole.
That's right. Gerard Depardieu likes his cheese with holes in it, if you know what I'm saying. All right, check this out, everybody. That's it for this. Our next film. Oh, by the way, that email address is filmsack@gmail.com. Leave us those voicemails at 801-471-0462. Our next movie is what? Is it Legion?
Oh, Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Legion has been moved.
With director Antoine Fuqua.
Ooh, I like him. I'm a fan. Actually, really? That's him?
Yeah.
Actually, really?
He's good, though. He's a good
and
he's
so
a decent
is
director.
Olympus Has Fallen with actors Gerard Butler, Aaron Eckhart, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I saw this, but I remember nothing. So that's good. 2013, hasn't been too long.
Nope.
Dylan McDermott.
Dylan McDermott.
Angela Bassett. Melissa Leo's in this.
Yeah, next week.
Okay.
On film or sometime soon on FilmSack.
All right. There's the first user review for this on IMDb says, turn off your brain, relax, and enjoy the action ride. Well, we will. Random person on the internet, we will. So that's next week right here on FilmSack. Check it out. In the meantime, you can go to filmsack.com. You got everything you need there, everything you're looking for. I should probably mention this here because I haven't yet on the show. The feed got real big and was starting to be unwieldy and also a performance problem for both users and us, and it was also just cranking up the bandwidth. That's what happens the larger your feeds get. This one's almost 10 years old, and that tends to happen with a weekly show. So I have split it off and basically made it so it contains the feed you're listening to now, if you're listening to the podcast, is the most recent 200 episodes. That will stay the same and will continually sort of just perpetually be 200 of the most recent episodes. Everything older than that has been moved to an archive feed, which you can find over at filmsack.com. There's a link for it. It's easy to find. It's just right there on the page. And you can subscribe to that if you're like, man, I want to go back and listen to everything from Kroll forward. You still totally can. It's not a problem at all. We just had to split the feeds to make that work. So for those who are confused or wondering what that was about, go do that. And also for those who found that the feeds were, the exact same name, and some players won't do that, I have fixed that as of this morning. So they now are named something different. FilmSack Archive, I believe, is what I named it. But anyway, it's super easy. You go over there and put it in your player of choice, and boom, you got all the old episodes as if they were never gone. All right. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Furry man.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.